Hello.
Yep. All right.
Can you hear us okay?
I can, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. Congrats on the win. We're going to roll straight for questions. So if you have one for Chris Gayhart, please continue to raise your hand or communicate with us through the chat option within the Zoom platform. And we are going to start with Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris. We hear a lot about when crew chiefs are suspended, they still are very communicative with their teams at the racetrack. What specifically are you able to do, though, when you're at the racetrack that you're not able to do when you're back at the shop still communicating with the team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's just, you know, as people, you only have five senses to work with, right? And no matter how good the tools are at the track, you're missing a lot of them. Or at the shop, you're missing a lot of them when you're not at the track. And on top of that, it's not live. So it is live, but it's not. You don't know the minute the caution comes out or, the second a pit decision needs to be made. Or, for instance, a perfect example is when the 9 pit there under green right there at the end, I was literally listening to them. And it's a little bit inside baseball, but the second they called him in, I called Denny in. And it was still too late. We still couldn't make it. And there's no way that same play could have been made from me at the shop, or at least not with the same trust level that Denny and I have, because he knows what I'm doing. So, you know, as amazing a job as JGR's IT staff does, and I really can't give them enough credit, they do an amazing job. It's just not the same as us being at the racetrack. So that's why I'm back here today.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I'm curious, the issues at Martinsville, would that have been corrected if you had practice?
Golly, Bob, I sure hope we wouldn't run that bad if we had a chance to practice. If so, Denny would have really had my butt. Yeah, certainly. I think Martinsville is so unique because it's a concrete track. So with no practice at all, it's extremely hard on the tires until it rubbers in. And Goodyear brought a tire that was supposed to wear more. And boy, did they wear. I mean, at the end of that first 60-lap run, all the tires up and down pit road were bald. So now the teams, you don't know that when it's live, though. You can't be certain of that. So you're already making adjustments based on how the car is driving, and then you get the tires off and look at them. It's not reverse. So you actually get behind two runs because you realize just exactly what's happening. But you got to run another 60 laps for the stage break. So to answer your question, Bob, I am confident we would not have ran that poorly had we got some practice. And I cannot wait to get back to Martinsville to redeem ourselves. I take a lot of pride in our short track efforts, and I know Denny does too, and that was embarrassing.
And do you think with this no practice that everybody will have a day like you had at Martinsville, and potentially teams will have the day like you have today, where it seems like you hit on everything right off the bat?
Yeah, I can certainly say that all of my teammates would tell you that. Again, more inside baseball, but I can tell you we all are having better days and then some off days. And I do think that's a product of everybody trying to figure out how to do this. But look, I can't stress to you enough, what happens at the cup level is the world's best racers who – optimizing things. So no matter what comes our way at the cup level, our job is to optimize the new scenario. And this is no different, guys. I'm telling you, if we're doing this a year from now, the teams that are good are going to get great, and the teams that struggle a little bit are going to struggle worse. It's our job to optimize, and I just think all the top teams do a fantastic job of it, and this will be no different.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Stephen Conley with PRN. Stephen, go ahead.
Congratulations on the win, Chris. Denny was talking about he has an unorthodox driving style compared to some of his other teammates, and you have to kind of adjust to that. Can you talk about what you've had to learn with working with Denny and his driving style, and what maybe you have had to change on top of the pit box?
Yeah, it definitely is different. He's able to get speed out of the cars in ways that his data traces may not suggest he's getting speed out of it, specifically at these 550 style tracks. But you know what makes it work is the guy's won 40 times now, and when I got to him, he had won, you know, 31 times, and you know, he's a world class stock car driver. So I knew with him as my driver and FedEx as my sponsor and Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota backing us, that I have a good enough driver to win every single race, every single weekend. So when you have that level of trust, and I've not got to work with a driver like that as a crew chief yet, and that's nothing against, you know, the guys that I've worked with in Xfinity. It's just they didn't have the level of experience and resume that Denny Hamlin had when I came to him. So it just made it really easy to sit down and go to work and say, hey, we're going to figure this out together, and I don't need you to change. I need you to listen. You know, I'm going to point things out, and we're going to talk about it. And, you know, no different than me on the crew chief side setup-wise. Of course, I pay attention to what my teammates do. But at the end of the day, we trust in our own abilities and focus on our own abilities to make our race cars better or drive our race cars faster. And I think that's our strength.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Lee, go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, Gayheart. Hamlin, when he was in there, basically said that he grew up with nothing. And I'm curious, do you think he uses the fact that he's not a Silver Spoon driver as a catalyst to push him forward? You know, he said that reaching the 40th win milestone was a number that he might have had years ago and he had been trying to reach it, but now that number, you know, just keeps changing because he keeps pushing that carrot farther. And I'm just wondering how much of coming from nothing do you think he uses that to motivate himself?
Well, I can tell you this, because I came from a similar background as him. You cannot know what it's like to starve if you've never been hungry. It's that simple. You do not know what it's like to go without if you never went without. And Denny Hamlin went without in racing. He knew what it was like to have nothing and to wonder where his next race weekend was going to come from. And he knew he would need a big break to make it. So what you find out of athletes like that or you know, crew chiefs or engineers or, you know, whatever, basketball players, whatever it is when their back's against the wall, they know what it's like to fight because they have fought for their lives before. Not just fought for a win, fought for their lives. And you have to have that to be great. Being good's one thing, but you have to know what it's like to fight out of a corner when that's your only choice. And I think Denny certainly has come from a background like that, and he takes a lot of pride in that, and he should. This is not easy. And he's become great at this level, and he did it by climbing the ladder one rung at a time. So happy to be here on these rungs. It's been a lot of fun.
Appreciate the insight, man.
Yep.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Dustin Albino. Dustin, go ahead.
Hey, Chris. This is your 9th win with Denny in 44 starts. I'm just curious. I asked him the same question. What do you feel like it is about you two that just click?
It's trust, number one. You know, if I had to put one word on it, it is simply trust. And what made it work in the early goings, I've said it before, is that he trusted me right away. He literally allowed me to come in and be innocent until proven guilty. And luckily, for the most part, we're still in there. Every now and then there's going to be a car like Martinsville, I hope once in like 400 races, but, he just trusts me, and I trust him, and we are both hungry. He knows how hungry I am. You say we're 9 for 48. The very first thing I think about is the races that we should have won and got away from us. And that is just how it is. That's how it's going to be. I want to win all 48, and I know he knows that about me, and I know that he does too. And when you know that each other is that invested, it makes it easy to trust each other, and that trust can be a huge building block.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take another question from Zach with the Pocono Record. Go ahead.
Chris, obviously the Xfinity Series had its doubleheader this weekend here. Is there anything procedurally that you guys at the Cup level are going to be able to take from this weekend, what they did, and apply that to Pocono Raceway in a couple weeks?
That's a great question. Yes, for sure. And I can tell you, in some areas that I hadn't even considered until I watched my team live through it. And I'm probably not going to divulge a whole lot more information than that, because I definitely have some things I need to talk to the shop about tomorrow based on what I've watched this weekend. But certainly it's been nice to watch somebody else live through it first, and hopefully we can make some adjustments for Pocono.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Bob Pockers, did you have a follow-up by chance? Okay. I have one final question, Chris, for you that I'm going to read for Alan Cavana. And that question is that you mentioned listening to the Nines radio. How did you decide whether to react to the Nines decision or make your own call first and then have everyone react to that?
Yeah, that's a good question. In hindsight, I certainly wish I would have set the tone. The problem is we all know that there's a window that we kind of need to be in where it makes sense to start that. And that window was very narrow. We had just gotten into it. And a lot of things ramp up at that time during pick calls for everyone. You know, we all got eyes on each other and ears. And the laps start clicking by really quickly. And I had made up my mind that I was going to try to react to him because I thought I could get Denny on pit road the same lap. And I just couldn't. As quickly as I reacted, it turns out 180 miles an hour is faster than I can listen, push a button, and talk. So Alan did a great job, a really good job. I missed it by a second. Had I been able to get on the button a second sooner, we could have been down. And it cost us a little bit of time, but luckily our car was good enough and Denny was good enough that on the long run that, you know, we had everything we needed.
All right, Chris, thank you again. Congrats on the win, and we wish you guys the best of luck next weekend in Talladega.
Thank you. We're looking forward to it.